The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010.
Have moments in life and you feel like you need to rise to the occasion. You feel like you need to bring the best that you can bring to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Do you ever have those moments?
Nope.
Mike Clay, Stephon, no, you don't. Stephon, you ever have those moments?
I bring the A game all the time.
Oh, you,
wow.
You just, he took the words right out of my mouth.
Wow.
Well, so what about you? You
don't I'm not quite as elite as the two of you.
You just don't always bring 100%.
I try to always bring my best, but some days I bring 110%.
Okay.
Most days I try to bring 100%. But on certain occasions, you feel compelled to bring your very best. And today marks one of those days because it's not just any other Thursday show. We'll talk about the Rams and the Seahawks and wide receiver cornerback matchups and Mike's fancy t-shirt and all that stuff in a bit. But in the presence of the 06010 today, we have the most gracious woman you'll ever meet. Mrs. Dopp is in the building today.
Yes.
Welcome to Mrs. Dopp. Look at that. She's even got a staff badge. I think that comes from a previous live show she attended. Daniel, how special is it for you to have Mama Dopp in the house?
It's always great to have Mama Squirrel here. Mama Dopp, Mama Squirrel, I don't know.
You just call her Mom, probably.
Yeah, I do call her just Mom.
Yeah, well, there she is.
Does
welcome
she call
to
you
Mrs.
Dan
Dopp.
Or Daniel? I forget.
She calls me Dan.
Yeah, it's funny.
Except for when she's upset with you. Then is Daniel plus your middle name.
Daniel David.
Daniel Squirrel.
Yeah, that's Daniel. What it is. Daniel Squirrel. That's what she calls me. Yeah.
Are we pressing Mike again today, or what? Are we good? Speaking of names and nicknames, are you back?
Today, no. I'm not.
No, you have no choice.
I'm going to be nicer today.
I'm
date Mike. Nice to meet me.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Date Mike.
How about that? Well done, Mike. I'm impressed with the funnies this week so far.
I'm just totally hijacking the office.
The good news is that
Michael
what happens is when you make these Michael Scott references is that the many wonderful people on the social media universe, including those that are watching us live on Twitter right now, take this reference and they turn it into a meme.
Yes.
And they make Mike Clay, Mike Clay Scott, Michael Clay, Michael Scott, whatever works. In any event, Prison Mike.
We'll see. He'll pop up
date
occasionally.
Mike, somebody else is back and we're here to have plenty of informed fantasy football conversations. So let's get right to it.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All right, so we've got a bunch of injury news. Because now we're one day into the practice week, we have some injury news to update you on that is not just speculation. It is hard and fast information. We begin in Kansas City, Stephania, where two players return to practice, Tyreek Hill and Damian Williams. What might we know about these two terrific offensive playmakers for Kansas City?
Well, let's start with Damian Williams coming. You know, he hasn't done anything at all. And then yesterday, I was a bit surprised, full practice. So there were no restrictions on him. And I think that gives you an indication out of the gate that they are looking to have him. Obviously, you want to see how he responds to his first full day of practice. But if he keeps this up, I expect him back in the mix. LeSean McCoy was limited, by the way, but obviously, his ankle's still not 100%. Tyreek Hill, limited. Good to see him back out in practice. But remember, no matter how good he looks running around, what this is ultimately going to come down to is the medical staff's confidence with him being able to absorb contact after having that sternoclavicular dislocation. So I'm not sure that this is the week. Stay tuned. But it sounds like he's getting closer.
A little bit of patience with Tyreek Hill, but the good news is he is back on the field. I think the interesting part here is actually, though, for the running backs, Mike, because all right, full practice on Wednesday for Damian Williams makes me think he's going to play on Sunday. LeSean McCoy being limited seems par for the course, given that he's been limited over the past couple of weeks. So is the implication, do you think, that Damian Williams plays, Darrell Williams basically becomes what he was during the first week of the season, which is a non-factor?
I think Damian Williams will get a shot initially to be sort of the guy again, because keep in mind, his efficiency, Damian's was pretty terrible out of the gate, but he was still handling 58% of the carries and 15% of the targets. That's big-time usage. If that continues going forward,
especially in that offense.
In this Chiefs offense, he's going to be a back-end RB1. That's big-time. So we'll see. I mean, remember, LeSean McCoy just joined the team. His role should continue to evolve. And honestly, as of right now, Darrell Williams is outplaying Damian Williams, at least in the running game so far this season. So he could be more of a factor because he played well. So it's a tough one to figure out. I could see three guys being involved. I have Damian at RB24, McCoy more of a flex this week. Darrell, I'm not going to start, but again, in this offense, could Darrell Williams in a few weeks be their lead back just because of injuries and ineffectiveness from the others? Absolutely. So for now, I at least want Darrell on the end of my bench.
Yeah, I still think Damian Williams will be the one that you'll start with the most confidence out of all three because of the passing game usage. You mentioned that 15% target share. Now, we've seen both LeSean McCoy and Darrell Williams get involved in the passing game a little bit, but still, Damian Williams, I think, is a superior pass catcher at this point of his career than either one of those players, probably carries the most value as a result. Saquon Barkley was sort of back yesterday, Stefania, but what's the context here in him being on the field with his teammates?
I think, you know, so he technically was a did not participate in practice. Mm. So for people who've seen the video, he was out there. You saw him working on the side, which is a great sign that he was outdoors and running. I mean, this was a guy who was in a walking boot a week ago. So out there and doing some light running and change of direction movement. You know, it's still very soft if you watch it. It's not full speed. And it's when you're doing these change of direction moves, it's a big difference when you're doing hard stops and cutting versus like these sort of soft turns. But that's where you begin. He's not expected to play this week. So everybody should know, do not plan on having Saquon this week. He will not play this week. The big question is what happens next week because they play on Thursday night. And so it's a short week. And do they decide to go conservative and hold him back out of next week? Or is he just making so much progress by this time next week that he plays? That's a question we can't answer right now, but he's obviously set to beat the timeline that was originally put out for him. And that's just a reminder, folks, that timelines are not ever set in stone. They're guidelines, and everybody recovers differently.
Normally what I try to do is when Stefania gives us information, I ask Mike for something along the lines of an actionable item. I'm not going to do that right
here.
Now. There's nothing here. This is an update because it's the most important player in some people's lineup. Saquon Barkley was the consensus 1.01. We'll see. That's what I will tell you.
Yeah,
we will see.
When he's active, you should start Saquon Barkley.
Okay. That's why we brought Mike
hashtag
in.
All right,
okay.
Good.
Yeah, so Daniel, cancel Matthew for the rest of the season because we've got Mike and he's got the hard hitting stuff.
Okay.
Deal?
Love it. I love Date Mike so far. This is great.
I know. Date Mike is way more enjoyable than Prison Mike. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay. Michael Gallup, Stefania, same division, NFC East, different team, different position. He returned to practice. He's missed, I believe, two straight games because of that knee issue before he was playing really, really well.
He was playing really well, had arthroscopic surgery, and originally they put a 2 to 4 week timetable on his recovery. And if you recall last week, he had some swelling in the knee. It sounded like maybe there was a little bit of a setback, but all of a sudden doing much better this week. Back in practice, and yesterday, according to Michael Gelkin, who's now with the Dallas Morning News, the original plan was only for individual drills, but he was doing so well and feeling so good that they just started incorporating him into elements of practice. So it's pretty impressive that when a guy, when you can see that right in front of you, like, hey, he's tolerating this, let's move him up, let's move him up. His teammates said that he looked really good, that they didn't see any difference with him running around. Michael Gallup could play this weekend.
Wow, that would be good news for that passing game.
Oh,
against a very good Green Bay defense. So, Mike, we learned last week, we learned last week because we talked about it on the Thursday night game. You cautioned us, don't play a slot receiver against the Packers. So, for the Cowboys, if Gallup plays, you probably feel, not that Randall Cobb was going to be playing anywhere but the slot anyways, but you can avoid him. But should Michael Gallup find your lineup if he does, in fact, play on Sunday?
I'm a little nervous. I ranked him around 45th this week. His target total is 7 and 8 so far. Super efficient. He's caught almost all of them. He has 13 catches for 226 yards already. So you love that. But again, they were beating up on some pretty bad secondaries and defenses out of the gate. So I'm a little nervous him coming back. I mean, maybe not 100%. You know, I guess he'll be close.
Yeah, you're always nervous in the first game. And I would say, let's see, too. Again, yesterday was his first time he did more than they planned for. Let's see what happens today. Does he come back and his knee is sore and they're downgrading him a little bit? But if he does 3 straight days, he'll be playing.
And not to mention against the defense, again, allowing the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers so far. They could put Jair Alexander on Amari Cooper. Tough matchup there. Not quite as dominant on the other side, as you mentioned, good against the slot. So maybe Gallup's the guy that has a decent game, but hopefully you have a better option. Hopefully you had to replace him last week. Hopefully you have a better option this week.
I was going to say, you probably have worked over the past couple of weeks to replace Michael Gallup as it is. Whoever that player is, probably lean on that one more time given the matchup and the fact that even if he does play, who knows? Maybe they, I don't say slow roll him out there, but it's 65 or 75% of his normal slot snap arrangement. We asked this question yesterday. Is it okay to drop John Ross? We all felt like it probably was. He's now on injured reserve. And just a note for people going forward is that although players can return after being placed on injured reserve, each team only gets 2. And beyond that, if you do the math, So John Ross was placed on IR yesterday, week 5. The earliest he could return would be week 13. You ask yourself whether you think the Bengals will be in the mix in week 13 and whether you think that they might be competing for something. Now, I understand developmental reps are important, so it's possible that he could return for that measure, but week 13 would be the precipice of the fantasy football playoffs. If you can safely drop, you could have safely dropped John Ross yesterday, we felt like, based off of the 1 month projected time frame to miss. Now, with at least 8 weeks gone, you feel fine about dropping John Ross.
Yeah, I just want to say a couple things about John Ross and his injury. First of all, to your point about, you know, whether they decide to activate him or not, I think context is important, too, in terms of his injury history. He only played 3 games his rookie season because of a labral tear in his shoulder and knee injury. 13 games ended early last year because of a groin injury. This is a guy who every year we get excited about the talent and every year has a health issue that keeps him out. So I'm with Field in that I'm not convinced that they're going to bring him back after this. And also, now we know more about what the nature of his injury was. We don't hear about sternoclavicular injuries very often. We heard it with Tyreek Hill. We had to go to the hospital because he had that posterior dislocation. And yesterday I said that if you have that arm across you, like it just the way it changes the force going through the shoulder, puts pressure in, drives it right to the center. He had a sternoclavicular injury. And we didn't hear anything about what direction it was. I'm going to assume probably anteriorly if he didn't go to the hospital. But that's why all of a sudden this becomes a longer time frame for recovery. They have to really make sure that it's scarred down before you put him back out there and take contact. So unfortunate for him, but it's a big deal. It's a difficult type of injury to recover from, and I'm not convinced that he'll end up coming back this season.
Yeah, and it's also interesting, Field, because this is the offseason where they need to decide on the fifth-year option, right? So, I mean, he was first-round pick. This will be the end of year 3. It's going into 4. I mean, it's too bad because it looked like he was breaking out. Maybe they might be more inclined to do that now. Might be a little bit of a question. It's
a lot at stake for John Ross going forward. Really an interesting player because we did see so much promise early on in this season. And I still think if you're Zach Taylor, you're saying to yourself, like, I can make this guy good. But right now, he does not have the chance to do so. We've got major news. Major. Daniel, hit it, please. Thank you.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
Here it is.
Mike Nugent, your new Patriots kicker. That's right. Veteran kicker Mike Nugent, who I believe most recently was with the Raiders. He kicked for the Bears in 2017. He went to Ohio State. He became a second-round pick for the Jets back in 2005. So he has been around the league for quite some time. He's bounced around. He had a long tenure with the Bengals. He's been a productive player for them. But typically when you're a kicker, you don't have a job. It's for a reason. But he has been added, according to Adam Schefter, to the Patriots roster. And, of course, that's because Steven Gostkowski was placed on injured reserve, Stefania, yesterday with a hip issue.
I know. He's having hip surgery, so they knew that this was effectively going to end his season. And it may explain some of the difficulties that he's had in the first few games. I mean, it wasn't all of a sudden that this was a problem, but clearly it was enough that, A, he wasn't able to function effectively in his duties, and B, probably decided now's the time to go ahead and get it fixed. So no more Gostkowski for this season, but hopefully he'll be able to be back to start next year.
I know we don't want to overanalyze things too much, but Mike, you are the one that is in charge of our projections on the website. You did not project the Patriots kicker for this week because Steven Gostkowski was out and they did not have one, but I just added them in the War Room link, literally just sitting here during the show. When I got the news, I figured, what the heck? Why not? I had Dan Bailey, that's who fair. Got me a big bagel last week. No one likes a bagel unless you're having it for breakfast, Daniel. I went and grabbed Mike Nugent instead. I mean, it's Patriots offense. They're good. By dint of that, he should be a productive fantasy kicker for as long as he has this job.
Yeah, if you hear a sound, it sounds like a jet engine in the background. I just plugged him into the depth chart when you said that because I hadn't seen it yet. It happened since the show started. And I plugged him in, and I already updated the projections here. He comes in at kicker 4 for the rest of the season. He comes in at 8. This week.
Let's go. Nimble fingers Field right here. Just pick him up. A top 4 kicker for the rest of the season. You see what happens when you hustle? That kind of stuff, children.
Instead of paying attention. I think you're bringing 110%.
Yeah.
I told you. Best show ever. Best show ever from Mama Dop. She's in the building.
Hold on just 1 second. You said he's going to be a top 4 kicker the rest of the season. Is that what I mean?
I didn't say it. Mike said it.
I said that's where he is in the projections.
Mike,
yes.
You want to do, should we do a board, a kicker board?
You won't, Daniel. You won't. You won't.
I think I will.
I want to do it on principle. Just, all right. Just because it's a kicker.
Okay. All right. So.
Wait. You just want Mike to make a board.
I do not think that Mike Nugent will be a top 4 kicker by the end of the season starting in Week five.
I want more wiggle room on this. Let's
what?
Say.
Okay,
let's say,
Matthew. Let's say top, okay.
There's a margin of error.
Mike is back.
There's a margin of error. Let's say top six. That's
I'll say
still,
top
that's
five.
Still a lot.
I'll say top five.
Okay, done.
All right. Mike Nugent will not be a top five kicker by the end of the 2019 season.
Mike Nugent will be a top five fantasy kicker by the end of the season.
Put it on the board.
Wow.
Put it on the board.
That wasn't
moved up
terrible.
To like a B plus.
I'm not gonna lie.
That's what I'm going
for. It wasn't awful. That was not awful execution by Mike.
If I get not terrible, it's a successful day.
Have we ever had a kicker board bet before?
To my knowledge, no.
We've made history.
Wow.
Now we need
knowledge.
To do a punter.
I feel good. Okay, Mike, just calm down.
Well, I've got a ball on. Listen, I have got a big Johnny Hecker, who are they playing? Seahawks. Michael Dixon, Johnny Hecker board bet later on.
Ooh.
We'll discuss it potentially. But before we get to that, let's hit the game preview drop because it's
time. Game preview.
Rams going to Seattle to play the Seahawks. This game is, of course, it's not, well, no giveaway here as to who we might be picking. We have these new windscreens and they have very Seahawks colors to them. One is kind of highlighter green and then Mike's is just a generic navy. But let's get to the Rams first because they are on the road. Jared Goff, outside of our top 10 this week, he's accounted for multiple touchdowns in three straight games. But Mike, Jared Goff on the road has been kind of yucky for a while now.
And he's been kind of yucky this season aside of last week when he, I don't think this was discussed enough. He attempted 68 passes in that game against the Buccaneers. That is third most all time in a single game. Do you realize that? I mean, that's so off the reservation. So he can't take the numbers produced in that game too seriously. Seven total touchdowns. This season, six interceptions. His efficiency has kind of plummeted. Remember, he was top five in yards per completion and yards per attempt each of the past two seasons. Those numbers have plummeted big time this season. So definitely a concern for sure. On the plus side, number two in pass attempts and completions, again, a little bit jacked up because of last week. Third in passing yards, same kind of thing. His weekly finishes all over the place. Two eighth place finishes, a 28th, a 23rd. Did have success against Seattle last season, right?
He did, yes.
They did pretty decent, but he had two 300-yard games in those, three touchdowns, three interceptions over the past two seasons, so not really doing a lot of damage in that kind of department. Also, teams our quarterbacks have been very conservative against the Seahawks so far. 5.9 is the average depth of throw against them. That is lowest in the NFL. So
that's
we'll
a weird stat. I wonder what that attributes to.
I'm not sure. Their teams are not attacking downfield. Maybe it has something to do with Clowney getting some pressure. Ziggy Ansah's back now.
Except for week one when the Bengals had those two long touchdowns to John Ross. It's been more conservative.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, I'm QB14, not a guy I feel great starting in Seattle tonight.
So this applies to all of the subsequent Rams players we'll discuss. Don't really have a great feel for what the Seahawks defense is. It's good. I don't think it's great. It could be average. Good front seven. LJ Collier is now playing their first round pick. Obviously, Clowney had a pick six the last time we saw him on the field against the Cardinals. That was a beautiful play. They've got, probably one of the best three defensive players in football in Bobby Wagner. But are they a tough matchup? Like, if you were sort of describe them as like a net positive, net neutral, net negative, like neutral?
Positive? I would say neutral and, listen, I felt since the beginning of last season they were going to be exposed at times, and we've seen it a little bit this year, right? I mean, we saw like Cincinnati hang in with them. We saw Pittsburgh obviously hung in there with them as well. They've been close. So I'm nervous the wheels could fall off at some point, but if they get all these guys healthy around them, they can end up being a decent defense. But they're missing some players that, you know, with the suspension, the injuries, that people are starting to come back and get involved. So, but you're right. I don't think it's a tough matchup. However, I do think playing at Seattle is tough, as you see the difference in splits. Seahawks usually win at home. It might make it certainly tough on the Rams, who obviously aren't bringing their A game so far.
Stefania, I know you had something you wanted to get in on Todd Gurley and his usage, his workload. There's a lot going on with Todd Gurley, and almost everything traces back to that knee of his.
There is. And so just to be clear, he's not on the injury report because of his knee.
Okay.
I mean, he has been scheduled off of practice.
Yep.
And when you look at the injury reports, for people who might not be familiar with them, they either say the body part, or in many cases with these more veteran players who they're trying to give an off day to, it will say veteran rest. And I believe that's a new entry because we never used to see that before. And sometimes if it's an absence for personal reasons or, you know, whatever, coaching decisions, something comes up, it'll say not injury related. Todd Gurley says not injury related on days that he misses. So it's not being ascribed to deliberate rest, but he is clearly not practicing every day. We can watch him and we see that things look different. He has bursts at times, but it's inconsistent. And his usage has been somewhat inconsistent, although I would say it looks like they've been made a focus of trying to up his reception. So passing game has improved last week. But every week, Sean McVay gets asked about it. And every week he says, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. You know, we're just not getting in the ball. There's something that just feels off here in the offense and the utilization of Todd Gurley. And Mike, I know you tweeted, this is not to call you out here. It's really to have this a discussion, believe it or not. But you had tweeted something relative to his yards after contact.
Yes, career high right now.
Career high. So I dug a little bit deeper in that. And this, I'm just curious what you think about this. In week one, where he had two of his biggest runs of 20 yards or more, that's where he had 3.71 yards after contact. But if you look at week two going forward, it's 1.63 yards after contact that it averages. I feel like a lot of his stats for the first 4 weeks are skewed to a couple things that happened in week one, as opposed to consistency for Gurley across the board. Part of it may be the offensive line, but I feel like part of it is Gurley is not getting in a rhythm, and we're not seeing the same Gurley that we used to before.
Yeah, that's totally interesting for sure. I mean, you don't want to ignore outliers, but you definitely want to note them for sure. So that's interesting. We'll see. I mean, 1.6, it's going to come in a little bit below average. So we'll see how that works going forward. I will say this, though. I mean, you mentioned his volume, and you're right. It's kind of been all over the place. Like, he only had a handful of carries last week, but had a 16% target share. He has had 14-plus looks every game, carries plus target. So at least there's that, right? That gives you some sense of a floor. He has three touchdowns, so he's getting some goal line work at two in the last game. Also has two top 15 fantasy weeks. So we're not seeing the ceiling, right, that we're used to with him so far, but he's RB14, right? Like, he's kind of hanging in there.
He's hanging
as
in
a
there.
Borderline RB1.
So. He's hanging there, and I think it's interesting for our ranks this week. Like, I was really uncomfortable ranking him where I did. But then I was like, okay, divisional matchup on a Thursday night after 4 weeks of the Rams getting pestered about why isn't Todd Gurley doing more. And I can't justify the number nine other than I think in this game, in this divisional game, they are going to try to feed Todd Gurley.
We'll find out soon. Cooper Kupp has been nothing short, to borrow a phrase from Matthew, of remarkable. Rather than telling you that you should start Cooper Kupp, because you know you are. He's been amazing. We've all got him as a top six play. Couple of stats here on just how unbelievable Cooper Kupp, who tore his ACL week 10 of last year. Not week 1, week 10. So fairly deep into the season. Cooper Kupp, through 4 weeks, 32 catches. Fourth most in the NFL. 388 receiving yards. Second in the NFL. Target share of 27.2%. Seventh best in the NFL. He's got three receiving touchdowns. Eight guys have four, so he's tied for ninth, but he's got the second highest total. He's got 100 yards in three games, the only player in the NFL that can do that. He's got 89.2 fantasy points. He's wide receiver two behind Keenan Allen. He's been amazing. What a great comeback it's been for Cooper Kupp. He's been a total star. We always talk about how you can start any of these Rams wide receivers in a given week, but you can build your lineup around Cooper Kupp. He has just been that good this year.
No doubt. I don't have much to add. I have him wide receiver four, so I'm actually up just a tiny bit higher than you guys. I mean, it's what is there not to love? He's being utilized like an elite wide receiver. Targets every game, top three in targets, receptions, yards. Actually, if you look at OFP, if you're wondering, well, is this a little fluky? Is it all efficiency? No, he's wide receiver two in OFP or expected fantasy points based on his usage. Everything you want in your number one star receiver, you're getting out of Cooper Kupp so far. What can you say? Fire him up in DFS season long, wherever you got him, use him.
I actually think he might be a little quicker. And I tweet about him, I feel like, every week because I'm looking for certain things, especially in guys coming off of ACL reconstruction. And there are things that I see from him that you just don't see this soon after injury. And a lot of it are the misses. He is making guys miss, catches the ball, he does stutter step and gets around them. This quickness, which he told me when I saw him this summer, this was something he actually integrated into the rehab. They really designed rehab progressions that were built around his game skill-specific things. And he had an influence in terms of what he was being asked to do in rehab. It's pretty incredible. But I feel like they can't bring him down even after he catches the ball, and that's where some of this value is coming from.
So with Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods, it hasn't been quite as good as Cooper Kupp. Now, Woods was amazing last week. He had 13 catches last week after 13 catches in the first 3 weeks combined. Again, I don't want to belabor the point here. Like, you're starting these players. You do so in most every week. Brandon Cooks has been consistent with over 70 receiving yards in three straight games. Robert Woods last year basically had at least 70 receiving yards in every game last season. He's remarkably consistent as well. Play your Rams wide receivers. We talked about this being an average matchup, like not scary, not a walk, over. Good. Play your Rams wide receivers. Not a whole lot more to add than that. unless you guys have something to add, we're going to move on to the Seahawks.
Yeah, I would just throw in on Cooks. I know his volume hasn't quite been there. We need an uptick to get back to last season. The efficiency's not far off last season, so he's close. If they just, maybe this week it happens to be an 8-9 target game, he gets back on track, he'll be fine. So I'm with you. Just keep
start
keep
your Rams wide receivers.
Start the Rams.
There is our expert analysis. Mike, before we get to the Seahawks, please tell us about DraftKings.
Well, as usual, I have a question for you.
Okay, ask me that question. Okay.
Let me ask you, Field, okay. Is there anything better than watching football? You
Hold
should
on.
Know this.
Do I have a minute to figure this
yes,
out?
Yes, you do.
The answer
yes.
is...
I'll take your time.
Okay, no. Marriage.
Of course there is.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, there's like one, only one thing.
Okay, what's better?
There's only one thing, according to this. Watching football with a DraftKings lineup on the line, especially this
Agreed.
Week. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit when you sign up at DraftKings.com/FFF. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at over $1 million in prizes. And be sure to check out our newest game mode, Flash Draft. Now you can draft a new team for a single quarter of a live football game. Head to DraftKings.com/FFF right now. New users who sign up today will get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's DraftKings.com/FFF for your free shot at over $1 million in prizes. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
And if you want to help in setting your DraftKings lineup,
how would you do that?
You would listen to the Daily Fantasy Podcast.
Wow.
As Secret Squirrel.
Oh. CSS DFS
and
Podcast.
Yeah,
that's coming out later today. Is it not, Mike Clay?
How about that?
Indeed.
Funny how I set that up.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Stefania.
As if I knew it was coming out later today.
I appreciate you paying attention.
I am listening to that, by the way. I'm rather enjoying it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very nice of you, Stefania.
That's really sweet.
No, but it's true. You know, I would say that, but I'm saying it with meaning. Like, I am really listening, and I do really like it.
See, there's no need for prison, Mike, today. It's all positive.
Everybody's
happy.
I want him back. I want him back. I told the world he'd be back today.
It's the worst podcast I've ever listened to in my whole life.
He's coming back.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be, it was all positive feedback yesterday, all negative today.
All negative today.
For the Seahawks, just like I had a note of commendation for Cooper Kupp, I'm going to allow Mike to empty the vault because I saw you tweet something very kind about Mr. Russell Wilson last night. Mike, he has been unbelievable this year.
Yes. Average depth of throw is just up just a pinch. Just a pinch from last year. But again,
what's a pinch?
Yeah, describe a pinch.
Point 0.1.
Oh, it's up from at 0.1%.
Yes.
Okay.
8.9 to 9.0, if I remember correctly.
Shout out to whoever the listener was who put that tweet, and Daniel said it was the best tweet of the night.
It was so good.
Anyway, but his completion percentage is way up from last season. So even though he's pushing it essentially the same distance downfield, his completion percentage has gone way up. The guy continues to light it up. He's been outstanding. He's also on pace for 40 all-purpose touchdowns, which would be a career high.
Nice.
So
I have a board bet over the season with Matthew on this guy.
All right, so you're liking it. Yeah, he has been terrific. He's QB3 so far. He's been a bit boom-bust. We've seen that. He's has finishes of 16th, 5th, 1st, and 17th. So you don't love that for sure. You want a little bit more consistency, but you love the touchdown production. You love the efficiency. You like that the Seahawks are throwing the football a little bit more. And you like that he threw three touchdowns in both games against the Rams last season. One thing, though, he actually doesn't get a lot of volume against him. He hasn't cleared 198 passing yards since 2016 against this Rams defense. We know they've been much improved with Wade Phillips there, and they haven't allowed him to rack up a ton in terms of passing yardage. Also, a quick note on the Rams defense. They've been better than you probably think. Like, we all watched the Buccaneers game, and they looked awful.
They've been good.
Even including that, 6.8 yards per attempt allowed to quarterbacks. It's ninth best. 61% completion percentage is sixth best. And the ninth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Again, even including that huge Jameis Winston game.
Chris Carson was much better last week because he held on to the football, and he ran like a bat out of hell last week. 15-plus carries in every game this season against
Field.
The Cardinals.
What?
My
happened?
Mom is here, okay?
You,
please
you
keep your
110%?
Language
wow.
under
yeah.
wraps.
Wow.
Jeez. Did I say that loud?
It's Prison Field.
Oh, my God.
Prison Field showing up.
Sorry.
Ugh.
Am I allowed to keep doing the show or no?
If you, I mean, you get one more shot, but one more outburst like that, and you're out of here.
Okay. I got it. Chris Carson ran amazing last week. He just ran splendid. You
there
know
you
that,
go.
Daniel? He was mighty fine on that football
There's
field last
version.
Sunday in Arizona. He was,
swell.
Gosh, he was swell. Yeah. He was just, you know, smiling from ear to ear. I was watching him because he was amazing. 15 carries in each game so far this season. He also has 14 catches so far this year. So, Chris Carson, lock it in. Top 20 running back play most every week. You feel good about that. Tyler Lockett, you feel good about as well. After a really weird week one, he scored a touchdown, but it was his only catch of the week. He's been much better. And Mike, you know he's going to be a very potent vertical threat. And the Rams last week could not stop anybody down the field, including Mike Evans, who on one play went completely and entirely uncovered. It's only Mike Evans, one of the best wide receivers in the game today.
Yeah, though, in the Rams' defense, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Michael Thomas, the only receivers to go over 13 points against them so far. So
yeah.
They've done a nice job otherwise. You mentioned Tyler Lockett getting downfield. We know that at any given time he could score a 60-yard touchdown, but we're seeing his average depth of target lower this year. Why? Well, he's basically doubled his volume from last season. So the Lockett script has gone almost exactly how he suggested in the offseason, right? Regression to the mean in the efficiency stats, his yards per target, his yards per reception, they've all come down, and it's been offset by a lot more volume, probably more than we even expected, doubling his targets, essentially. So he's been inconsistent. He's been outside the top 38 receivers twice, but he has finished as a 14th and 4th as well. He's, you know, in terms of OFP, he's 24th. Nonetheless, I have him 10th, so he's right in that vicinity right now. That's fair. I think he's a fringe wide receiver one for now.
And, of course, we feel good about Will Dissly, who has emerged as a tight end that you can play. In most weeks, he's number 10. In Mike and Stefania's ranks, I have him at number 9. He has been rock solid of late. He seems to be playing a lot. Nick Vanette was traded, and all of a sudden the snaps for Will Dissly seem to go up. He scored a touchdown last week against the Arizona Cardinals, who are very generous against tight ends. Let's hope he does it again tonight. Keep that Russell Wilson, Will Dissly stack going in earnest.
I know we're moving on from the Seahawks, but just that DK Metcalf, who I have down at like 48, you have him at 50, Mike, and Field doesn't even have him ranked. But just because of that getting ability to get deep on the Rams that has been exposed, I think there is a chance that DK Metcalf gets a touchdown this game.
And that's perfect because he's been one of the unluckiest players in terms of touchdowns this season. He has 7 end zone targets. That is most in the NFL. Actually, Will Dissly is 5, and he's tied for 3rd in the league.
Who put out, I thought it was Bill Barnwell, but I can't find it right now, but from the next gen stats that we have with the little
his
movie?
His route tree?
Yes. Yeah. His route tree was amazing. It's like, they're all vertical. Except for one. That's like they're all vertical, and they're almost all to the left side of the field. So look for a touchdown on DK Metcalf to the left side of the field.
Starfine, you called it.
Yeah.
Put it on the board.
Board bet with
myself. I was going to say, board bet with yourself? I'll board bet you. Board bet? Yeah.
Yeah.
I say DK Metcalf does not score a touchdown tonight.
I say DK Metcalf does score a touchdown tonight.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Another win for your boy, Field Yates.
And Mike,
we're
going to
pick this game. Reminder, tonight, playing at home in Seattle, they are celebrating and honoring the life of the late, great Paul Allen, the owner of both the Seahawks, the Trailblazers, and he was a pioneer in his industry, an incredibly philanthropic man, one of the finest people to be associated with the NFL, the NBA, and did a lot of great for the University of Washington, amongst many other places in the Pacific Northwest. So certainly a person that deserves to be honored. I am taking the Seattle Seahawks to win at home on a night in which a legend is honored. Give me the Seahawks. Mike, who you got?
Well, here's my projection, right? I do all the projections. If you total them all up, this is what they come out to.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Didn't know that.
So this is what they come out to. Rams 26.69, Seahawks 26.66. That's what the points add up to. So it's essentially a wash. I'll go with the numbers. I'm going with the Rams on the road.
Okay. How about you?
Too bad you're wrong. I'm going to go with Field with that, like, emotion. These are much bigger things, Mike, than numbers. Like, it's emotion. It's the 12th man. It's the divisional matchup. It's the Seahawks are just going to be so fired up. And Jared Goff is going to get confused in that loud state. Give me the Seahawks.
Jared Goff will be confused. That's fighting words for Jared Goff.
It hurt offense. Like, it was 3 years ago that Jared Goff didn't know where the sun rise from.
That part is true.
It's like, what?
That's a good point.
Also, Mike Clay doesn't believe that momentum exists, which is why that number
mostly does not exist.
Who you got, Daniel?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks here as well.
Who is Mama Dop picking? Does she have a choice?
Mama, you taking tonight? Seattle or LA? Mike is alone on this one, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. So she's going to go with Mike on the Rams.
She
wow, Mama Dop likes Mike Clay. How about that?
That's really sweet.
Wow.
Thank you. I appreciate the support. We got this.
All right. Well, in a minute, we're going to come back. And then later on tonight, we're going to figure out whether Mama Dop is, in fact, the smartest person of all time or just the smartest person in this room today. Probably both, because both could technically be true. But first, a word from the fantasy show.
He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
That song needs to be rephrased. She's a brainiac, she's a brainiac, she's Mama Dop.
I want to say this. The only reason why Mom took Mike Clay's side is because she said, quote, and I quote, I like Bad Boys.
Yeah.
And that's why she went with Mike's pick here.
All right. You know what? There's a, you know what? There's been a compelling case for Prison Mike. It just keeps building and building. Yep. Like, I'm going to have to change my whole demeanor on everything.
You're going to have to explain so much to your daughters when you get home one day. Why are they calling you Prison Mike, Daddy? Wide receiver quarterback matchups are, of course, penned by Mike and Mike. This feels kind of weird, like you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yes, I am.
Terry McLaurin against Stephon Gilmore, a downgrade of a matchup. I'm noticing a certain something you're wearing right now.
Yeah, there are no rules in prison, so I can do both here. All right, here we go. Ready?
Hey-o.
Heck is that.
Look at Mike's fancy F1 McLaren t-shirt.
Yes.
Wow.
Got the shirt here from RotoWear. Appreciate it for sure, them sending it along. Love the nickname for Terry McLaurin. If you miss it, F1, obviously, super fast car, Guinness World Record holder. He's super fast. He's been outstanding. He needed a nickname.
But... You're downgrading him.
But I'm downgrading him this week because he's playing the Patriots, who I'm told are good at football. Their defense playing pretty well.
It's early in the season.
This season, yeah. All right, let's get into it. Second fewest fantasy points allowed to receivers this season, including third fewest to perimeter receivers and fewest to players lined up wide to the left. Why is that important? That's where Terry McLaurin aligns 54% of the time. The Patriots have not allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver yet this season. In fact, only Cole Beasley and Juju Smith-Schuster, who are slot receivers, they're the only ones that have allowed, or scored, excuse me, over 12 points against them so far this season. We know McLaurin, F1 McLaurin coming off a hamstring injury. That's another thing to consider. We don't even know for sure if he's going to go in this game, but if he does, it is a tough matchup. In fact, as if all that isn't enough, he could draw the Stephon Gilmore shadow as their clear number one receiver. He's already shadowed Smith-Schuster, Robbie Anderson, John Brown, one of the best in the business. It's gonna be tough coming off this injury, or even if he's healthy, to have a good game here against New England.
Courtland Sutton had an awesome game this past week. He had two touchdowns. That was one of the few signs of life for the Broncos. He now plays the Chargers, and Casey Hayward, one of the few Chargers that's still healthy, Mike.
Yeah, he's still on the field.
Yeah, our good friend Al Zeidenfeld DM'd me the other day because he was working on his best bets column. You can find that at ESPN Plus, his best DFS plays. And he was like, I want to like Courtland Sutton, and me too. I'm like, we want to like Courtland Sutton. He's a good, well priced in DFS. And he said, but is he going to get the Casey Hayward shadow or is it going to be Sanders? And I'd already looked back at last season, and in both games, Hayward shadowed Sutton. And Sutton was not very productive in those games. Three catches for 78 yards and no touchdowns. One catch for 25 yards and no touchdowns. Hayward on Sutton on 67 of 79 pass routes in that game. Now, Emmanuel Sanders missed one of those games, and he was primarily playing in the slot last season, so maybe something changes here. It's possible. You have to keep that in mind, but my expectation would be Sutton looks like the number one now. Hayward covered him successfully last year. I think he will shadow him in this game. So, and by the way, Hayward's still playing terrific football. He shadowed DeAndre Hopkins. He was quieted to six catches, 67 yards, and he also shadowed Marvin Jones and held him in check, so he has been terrific. And by the way, if he is on Sutton, Sanders has a good matchup on the other side. Michael Davis missed time with an injury and not really great so far out of the gate. So that would actually be an upgrade for Sanders, maybe a DFS option.
Unfortunately, we're not going to know. You know, like you're not going to know. No one's going to say, but Vic Fangio's not going to, or, you know, and Ken Wisenhunt, or sorry, excuse me, other side of the ball. Gus Bradley's not going to say, you know, here's our plan.
So sometimes they do. I mean, like the Jags told us Ramsey was shadowing Tyreek Hill in week one, and sometimes the beat reporters know.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
Sometimes
if
we find
we
out.
Get information. I feel less confident that we will than you do, but if we do, fair enough. Point by Mike. All right, let's get to the upgrades, Mike. And two teams, same game, both get upgrades. The Eagles, Alshon Jeffrey, and DeSean Jackson, if he plays, which maybe I should ask Stefania first. Do you get any sense on whether he'd be available on Sunday against the Jets?
No, I think we have to wait and see what happens for the rest of the week.
Okay, fair enough.
Iffy.
So he's an if still, but if he does play, Mike, or whoever plays in replacement of him, Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson / replacement have a good matchup against the Jets.
Yeah, and that would be Mac Hollins on the perimeter if Jackson's out. My expectation is he'll miss the game. Just he's not practicing yet, so I have Mac Hollins in the projection for now. So we'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, things could change Stefania will keep us posted there. But in the meantime, it's a good matchup for these perimeter receivers. Jets' third most fantasy points allowed, two receivers so far, six most on a per-game basis to perimeter receivers. All three number one receivers the Jets have faced so far have reached 19 fantasy points. OBJ, John Brown, Julian Edelman, actually Philip Dorsett got there too against this Jets defense. They've had a hard time. Alshon will see a lot of Darrell Roberts, who's been targeted on 30% of his coverage snaps so far. And then Tremaine Johnson, we know he got benched. They replaced him with a guy they grabbed in a trade from the Colts, Nate Harrison,
yeah.
And he's playing a full-time role now too. So it's kind of a mess too. Also, if Jackson does happen to play, he'll run from the slot about half the time. He'll see Brian Poole. The Jets have allowed the eighth most fantasy points to the slot this season. So this Jets secondary can be had. It sets up nicely for the Eagles.
Sounds like the Jets could use a couple dozen cornerbacks. Before we get to Robbie Anderson and your thoughts on his matchup, we have the IBM Watson Insight of the Week from our friend and soon-to-be-married Kyle Soppy.
Hey now. Robbie Anderson's got just 16.2 points over the last 2 weeks combined, but IBM Watson gives him a 15% chance to hit 18.3 or better this week. Robbie Anderson has busted in 2 of 3 weeks. You guys see better times ahead this week.
Well, you know something, Kyle? It's a great question. It's a formative question. I think I have an answer, but I'd rather defer to the person who has matchup context. What do you got, Michael?
Well, I'll tell you what. If Sam Darnold doesn't play, I'm going to be a little more nervous about this one
right.
with
we
Luke Falk under
that.
Center. We have to keep that in mind. But regardless of the quarterback, it is a good matchup. The Eagles, let's go through them here. Ronald Darby, their top corner, he's out. Jalen Mills has not played this season. He was their number two. Avante Maddox was their slot. He got hurt last week. He's not going to play. They like Cravon LeBlanc last season down the stretch. He's been on IR. Like, they're just devoid of corners. They're missing guys all over the place. That's a problem. On top of that, even with some of these guys playing, they have been destroyed. Most fantasy points to receivers, most to perimeter receivers. Anderson lines up outside 83% of the time. Davante Adams, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, Marvin Jones all have reached 22 fantasy points against the Eagles so far this season. It's been a slow start for Anderson. Quarterback play, tough matches, and tough matchups have been a big reason for that, but he is finally set up with one of his rare good matchups for this season, so you love it. But let's hope Sam Darnold can play and we'll feel a little better about this one.
Okay, and we'll get more information on Darnold. He was limited yesterday in the Jets practice and not going to try to hang out the drive.
Like
to find
Friday,
me, I don't know.
I think Adam Gase referenced Friday as being a day that they would learn more about. It's really, again, here, contact situation.
I also think that with Sam Darnold, there will be no mystery going into the weekend. Like, I don't think we'll be waiting around until 11:30 on Sunday saying, hey, are we going to have Darnold, yes or no?
Because it's really if he gets medical clearance, and I think they're hoping that will happen Friday.
Let's get Robbie Anderson back on track. He has had a tough start to the season. Daniel, if you would be so kind, would you please tell me about your friends at Full Sail University?
Oh, you bet, Phil. This episode of Fantasy Focus is brought to you by Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Legendary sportscaster Dan Patrick has teamed up with Full Sail University to offer an accelerated bachelor's degree in sportscasting. Full Sail University combines hands-on learning, immersive projects, and faculty with real-world experience to prepare students for life in the media industry. And for the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, they've brought in some of sports media's best to be a part of this program. Award-winning producer Gus Ramsey is heading up the program, and sportscasting pros such as Sage Steele, Jay Harris, and Kevin Nagandi, including many more, are involved. Students will learn sportscasting inside and out, both on camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, interviewing, and everything in between. At Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, you can earn a bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months, and you can choose to earn your degree online or on Full Sail's campus in beautiful Orlando, Florida. To learn more about Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, go to fullsail.edu/fantasyfocus.
Not cool key, not cool key, not cool key, let's rock.
I can tell that Mama Dop likes Keith Moore because that makes him sound like a bad boy, that song. It's got some metal to it. Guttural sort
love
of
it.
Vibe. I like it. Keith, have at it.
If she only knew the truth. Not a bad boy. Waterboy Eric wants to know, flex question this weekend, Jordan Howard or Sterling Shepard?
Oh, Sterling Shepard. I don't think that's even close for me. I mean, certainly Jordan Howard could score 3 touchdowns again. They play the Jets. But
are you calling this again?
Do it again.
You know what? My pixie dust has been exhausted on Jordan Howard. But yes, I think Sterling Shepard has a better day than Jordan Howard.
Agreed, for sure. You don't want to chase touchdowns. You want to chase volume, and Shepard with Daniel Jones has been getting it.
Okay. Along those lines, Sterling Shepard related question here from Jake. Does Golden Tate's return eat into Shepard's target share enough to concern you?
Am I crazy for thinking that Sterling Shepard is just really good?
No, I think he is too.
And that's what matters most, is that like he's a really good player with a functional quarterback and an offense that even if they add Golden Tate, it's not like the target share will like, what's it? I think it's at like 27.2 or 28.8 with Daniel Jones. Like, even if that goes down like 2 to 3%, it's still more than a quarter target share is plenty for a wide receiver.
And it doesn't have to, because they were forcing targets to a bunch of other guys, right. And now they can send
cut
Golden
Benny
Tate's
Fowler
way.
And TJ Jones, right?
Right?
So like I think there's a lot of confidence for me going forward in Sterling Shepard.
There's room for both. I would be more nervous, however, if Daniel Jones was not the quarterback, because he's getting the ball downfield and he's been, Shepard's been more productive. That makes me feel a lot better.
Oh, by the way, but like two bad matchups coming up. Vikings and Patriots. Not great for wide receivers.
True.
Aaron wants to know how nervous you are about Joe Mixon.
This is the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast sponsored by the Bengals this week. Wow, 17 minutes on Monday.
There's a lot
or Tuesday
to be nervous about with the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm nervous. I don't know how you could be anything but that. But I mentioned this on Tuesday. I believe Joe Mixon is still a top 20 running back option, but maybe going into the season, people thought he was going to be a top 10 play. I think he's somewhere between 15 and 20 as opposed to, 6 through 10.
I think Stefani. I was just going to say, I think he'll get going. I mean, last year handled 71% of their carries. He's at 68% so far this season. 13% target share last year, 9% this year. I mean, he's still getting a pretty decent chunk of the usage, and I think that will translate. Chase the volume again. Efficiency's been concerned. I know the O-line's been terrible, but it was bad last year too, and he led the AFC in rushing. I think he'll bounce back.
Yeah, I think volume is not a concern. It's how bad are the Bengals going to be? Are they always going to be down? Are they going to be throwing the ball a lot? And that ultimately limits what they do with him.
DVKY is wondering if Daniel may have had the right team, but the wrong receiver with his wide receiver bust.
Ouch.
Wants to know if Calvin Ridley is anything more than a matchup play.
Succinct answer, yes or no.
What's the question?
Calvin Ridley's been more hurt than people realize. So I think that's part of where the problem has been.
I've got an answer after you finish.
I think he's a good wide receiver three. I think he'll be fine.
I think he will be, maybe not this week.
Here's a little challenge for you, Atlanta Falcons. You're 1-3. You've got a blue chip filled roster. You've got a quarterback that's paid at the top of the market. You've got a wide receiver who's got the largest contract in NFL history for a player at that position. You've got 5 first round picks along your offensive line. You've got another first round pick in Calvin Ridley. You've got Devontae Freeman. You've got a defense that now has Deion Jones. And I understand there have already been some injuries. Inexcusable 1-3 start. Mm-hmm. Let's get it going, Atlanta. Calvin Ridley is too good to be seeing such a low target share. I know he's a bit banged up, but he's healthy enough to play. Get it going, Atlanta. Calvin Ridley should be a weekly fixture in lineups when used properly. I don't want to hear about misusage of Falcons. Oh, by the way, I forgot about Austin Hooper, who actually has been a star for them so far this season. Get it going, Atlanta. No more time to waste time. You're already 2 games back in the division. This season could be over before you realize it if you don't pick things up.
Well said.
I like that. I'm combining 2 questions here from Daniel Craig and from Baller
Daniel
Ian.
Craig.
Hold on. Yes.
Wait, did James Bond
Daniel
just,
Craig. Yes.
That Daniel Craig.
He really was
Daniel
like Craig. Writing into the
gotcha.
Show.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Now I just had right there.
Yeah. Sorry to name drop.
Bond.
But,
James Bond. So, go ahead.
Well, first thing, Daniel wants to know, okay. Daniel Craig this is, wants to know about Tevin Coleman's health. And then Baller EM wanted to say, when Coleman does return, does that just rule out finding any value in the 49ers backfield?
On the health.
I think there's some optimism that Tevin Coleman returns this week. Obviously, with them playing a Monday night game, you don't get any practice reports until Thursday, but we know he's been doing some work outside, obviously coming off the high ankle sprain. But I think for the past, week, even before they went into their bye week, which came so early, week 4, there was discussion that we could see Coleman back. So I think that there's optimism. I want to see what happens today, how much he practices. But I think that he will make his debut. That said, I don't think he's going to, they might utilize him a little bit differently first game back, but ultimately he becomes, it goes back to him and Breida being the 1-2 split.
Agreed. I think Coleman's a preferred play, especially if you look at week 1 usage. I would consider him a flex. I would do Breida maybe during bye weeks, a fringe flex. Raheem Mostert, if he's a big factor, it's a problem for everybody. I think he'll be kind of phased out.
He'll be more that special teams guy who comes in sort of when needed.
I agree with that.
All right, Keith, what else?
Yeah, last one here from Brandon. With Sammy Watkins having a big week 1 and not a ton since, Tyreek Hill coming back sooner than later. Is that mean it's now the time to move on from Sammy Watkins?
I presume this to mean that you want to wonder if it's time to trade Sammy Watkins.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you going to get from him right now? Or for him right now? The answer is not much, because his value has cratered after that monster week one. He is still ranking consistently inside our top 15 until Tyreek Hill returns. And Stefania said it earlier on in the show, probably not going to play this week. And just because he's practicing, like, what's the guarantee he plays next week for the Chiefs? Right now, there isn't one, especially when the team is 5-0. The rest of the division is kind of, you know, sitting on its hands so far this season. So, yeah, I think that, like, you can try to trade Sammy Watkins. You just won't get anything of consequence in return for him.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I think he's going to be an every down player, essentially, when they're throwing the football when Hill's back anyway. So he's probably going to be ranked weekly as a fringe top 30 sort of guy, at worst case. So, yeah, just hold tight right now.
How's this for a thought? When Tyreek Hill first comes back, and everybody's attention goes right to Tyreek Hill.
You might benefit
Sammy Watkins. Might get some, you know, I wouldn't, like you said, you're not going to get value for him, and he may actually rise up a little bit when Tyreek Hill first comes back.
There you have it. You heard it here first. Twitter has spoken, by the way. 81% of the listeners prefer Prison Mike to Date Mike. Mama Dop is yet to vote, but that number figures to go up when she has the chance to actually vote. I kind of think we should allow at least 24 hours for most of our polls, although I do understand the instant reactions. The instant reaction says Prison Mike, probably going to have same thing. If we let it run for 24 hours as well. Go to Mama Dop's Twitter feed, right?
Yeah.
What's
her
Twitter?
She does have one.
She doesn't have one. Okay. The screen said, look at Mama Dop's Twitter feed. Is that
No, I said she has one.
Look at this picture.
Oh, my
this
gosh.
Is Prison Mike.
Yeah, this picture of Prison Mike.
Can you see that? I don't think we can see it.
Go to @FantasyFocus to find the photo of Prison Mike. Yes. Well done by you, the internet.
I should have clarified, by the way, when we made our board bet on for a kicker
rest of the season.
I meant non-PPR. Does PPR make a difference to you, Mike?
We're going to have to break this down. I mean, there's all kinds of settings.
I'm happy to do half point, but I'm not going to do full
if
point.
If I win, it's fine. If I lose, then it's a problem.
Okay, all right.
It's going to be hilarious, by the way, when you guys decide to make it PPR, and then Jake Bailey, the Patriots punter, throws a pass to Mike Nugent on a fake field goal.
And that's what's going
to
be put it over.
I was going to say,
to determine the outcome of this
they
board
fake
bet.
A field goal. What about if he throws a pass? Does he get the points of a quarterback if they fake the field goal?
Call him Matt Prater. Yeah, for sure.
Matt Prater. Love that.
Who gets more punts inside the 20 tonight?
Ooh, good one. I like
put
that.
On the spot.
I'm going to go with Michael Dixon. Who do you
got? I'll take Hecker.
I say Michael Dixon has more punts inside the 20 than Johnny Hecker. Wait. I just screwed that up. I say Johnny Hecker has more punts out of the 20 than Michael
contagious.
Dixon.
I say Michael Dixon has more punts inside the 20.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Yeah, you're back down to a B-.
That's the worst board bet of all time, just in terms of
we needed a punter. It doesn't matter.
We have a full week 5 preview tomorrow, every single game being previewed. And here's a little spoiler. The Dolphins are not losing on Sunday. We'll be back on Friday.
A Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat,